first lesson is a reading from the book of Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is discarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is uncernible. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you be worried and add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful evening to pray and to listen to beautiful music. I once heard it said that music is like praying twice, and it is in fact extraordinary. This is St. John's Cathedral, and it is the only cathedral in the city of Jacksonville. And because you are living in this city, this is your cathedral. We welcome you here, and you're welcome to come back at any time. Our doors are open all during the week if you need a quiet place to pray or just to be. We're open and we're here for you. We give thanks tonight for our choir and for all the incredible music that they provide for this city, and I encourage you to be generous. This evensong is free, but we trust that our congregation will be generous in supporting the work of the church. Welcome.
Slow us down, O Lord. Ease the pounding of our hearts by the quieting of our minds. Steady our hurried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give us amidst the rush of this day a glimpse of rolling hills, blue skies, and the calmness of everlasting streams. Slow us down, Lord. Ease the pounding of our hearts by the quieting of our minds. Amen. What a joy it is to worship with you this evening. Thanks to Dean Moorhead, the choir and musicians, and visitors who are here tonight, helping us to celebrate the life of St. George, not only his life, but also during this Easter season, the lives of all saints who have gone before. Bart Giamatti, one time president of Yale and commissioner of baseball for many years, in his later part of his life, he wrote a marvelous book on baseball in which he said, baseball and religion are very much alike. Why not? He said that it begins at home and ends at home. Always in danger of mixed metaphors, I will try not to suggest, but it's very close, that the field of dreams is very near the kingdom. Life is a series of passages when we think about it, and transitions, not only in higher learning and in the raising of families, in the launching of careers, but also in the journey of faith. Among the Easter Gospels, there are many teachings of Jesus that speak not only to the earliest disciples, but directly to you and me, with a mix of doubt and fear, uncertainty and joy, in these fleeting days between the resurrection and the ascension, listening carefully for words of encouragement and inspiration as they prepared to go forth into the world with the good news that Christ is risen. And Jesus said, I am with you only a little longer, and I leave you with a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. The woman's name is Sally Bracy. At this time last year, Sally and her husband Jim were just a month shy of their 60th anniversary when something amazing happened to them. Now, they had raised their four children together, and like anyone married more than a short time, they had their ups and downs. When they were married 60 years ago, Sally imagined her life playing out like a Hollywood movie, you know, the Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck scenes. But that was long ago when they were young and starry-eyed, where Jim and Sally, the romance and passion of youth, had given way to the comforts and challenges of home and parenthood. Their 60th would be no royal celebration at Buckingham Palace. But there would be a party, a chance to walk down memory lane with family and longtime friends. On a spring morning about a year ago, Sally was thinking about the party when the phone rang. Now, ordinarily, the postmaster does not deliver the mail. So you can imagine Sally's surprise when the U.S. postmaster in Norfolk, Virginia, said, I have a letter here for you, which I am required to deliver to you in person this afternoon. Sally told him she would be at home to receive the delivery and then hung up and wondered, what on earth could this be? What kind of letter would be so extraordinary that the postmaster is required to deliver it? What kind of message could be so important? Now, the Easter season lessons are like divine invitations, if you will, invitations to reconnect, to be in relationship with God in a meaningful and lasting way. From the psalmist to the book of Acts, from 1 John to the gospel, the readings are like a sacred invitation to come into a new relationship with God as we open ourselves to the encouragement and inspiration of the gospel. Walk in faith. Do not be anxious. Look at the birds in the air or the lilies in the field. Lift up your hearts. He is not here, he is risen. Peace be with you. And yes, you are witnesses of all these things, for I have come that your joy may be complete. I was thinking of a beautiful and haunting verse from the book of Revelation. God has only this against you, that you have forgotten the love you had at first. That you have forgotten the love you had at first. How quickly we forget that it was God who fashioned this magnificent creation, who redeemed the world from sin and death, who has given us a sure and certain hope of eternal life. Author Anne Sexton said it this way: God owns heaven, but he craves all creation. He spreads out before us the beauty of a new summer day, the perfection of a little child, or the joy of a long-awaited homecoming. Like every passionate lover, God woos his beloved with music of mountain streams, spring flowers, and his lively word. And then he awaits our response to the divine invitation. Author James Thurber seemed to understand that when he said, "My friends, do not look back in anger, do not look forward in fear, but look around in thanksgiving." All rivers run to the sea, and in the same way, you and I are invited to return to the source of our blessing, to God from whom all blessings flow. God has only this against you, that you have forgotten the love that you had at first. And it was dusk before the postmaster in Norfolk, Virginia, arrived at the home of Sally and Jim Bracey. He handed the letter to Sally and, with a big grin on his face, said, "Don't worry about the postage due." Sally looked at the letter carefully. It was just 6 cents postage on the right-hand corner, and the postmark read January 28, 1955. Sally looked at the familiar handwriting, and her eyes welled up with tears. Over a half century before, Jim Bracey had scrawled 4 pages of Lovelace prose to his young wife. He had dropped the letter at his army base and forgot about it, and so did the U.S. Postal Service. The letter, as it was, had ended up being lodged between 2 walls in the mailroom at Fort Ord, a decommissioned base 80 miles from San Francisco. A construction crew had found the letter and sent it to the post office, and then they delivered what would turn out to be a timeless message to Sally. Now, Sally and Jim took the letter inside their home, and they sat down side by side. Finally, Sally opened the envelope and began to read aloud. A letter from a man who had captured her heart so many, many years ago. Later, she would share the first 2 pages with her children, but the last 2 were for her eyes only. The letter sent her heart a flutter, and tears flowed, and once again, love struck. She felt like she was in a scene from an Audrey Hepburn movie. Jim played their favorite old song, "Once in a While," and the couple danced for the first time in years. And words came to my mind of Anne Murray's wonderful song, may I have this dance for the rest of my life. And so it is with God, offering to each of us a divine invitation. Return, walk in faith, look at the lilies in the field. Come and follow me. Be witnesses of all these things, that your joy may be full, and go forth with the good news of the risen Lord. To be sure, we live in dark and stressful times, but the Easter gospel resonates with hope and an invitation to begin again. To begin again for those of us who have forgotten the love we had at first. And Jesus said, I am with you but a little longer, and I leave you with this new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Yes, Lord, day by day, there are three things we pray. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly. Amen.
us pray. O God, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servants who seek, through art and music, to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth. And grant to them, even now, glimpses of your beauty, and make them worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have bound us together in a common life. Help us, in the midst of our struggles for justice and truth, to confront one another without hatred or bitterness, and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, support us all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.